Hello, it's Scott Manley here. Last week, hours after Starship failed to launch, India launched its first privately built rocket from Skyroot Aerospace. This is the Vikram 1. It uses three solid rocket motor stages and a fourth stage, which is liquid, for orbital insertion. And this makes India the third country that can claim to have a non-government designed launch vehicle which has made it to orbit. Of course, the previous ones being the USA and China, although technically I think New Zealand can claim some of that as well. Regardless, I want to send congratulations to the entire team at Skyroot for making it this far. It is not simple getting to orbit. This is only the second vehicle launched by Skyroot. The first one was the Vikram S, which is a small-scale sounding rocket which reached about 89 kilometers. It was a single-stage solid rocket. It was 6 meters long, about 550 kilograms, that's about 1,200 pounds, and it was a successful first flight back in 2022. It was 4 years after the company was formed. Skyroot was founded by a pair of scientists who'd been working at the India Space Research Organization, Pawan Kumar Chandana and Naga Bharath Dhaka. And they started with some venture capital funding, a relatively small team, and ambitions to start building rockets that would essentially compete with other rockets around the world. And so India has a lot of experience with solid rocket motors, and Skyroot naturally used this as the basis for their launch vehicles. And while they are independent from ISRO, they have deals which let them use the government's facilities to test and develop their launch vehicles. And I'm sure that has helped them a lot because they've had two launches and two successes so far, although I'm going to say the launch that we had last week came pretty close to looking a little bit dodgy, I'll say that. So let's look at the design of their orbital class rocket. The three rocket stages are all named Kalam. This first stage is the Kalam 1200. It generates about 100 tons of thrust and it has a carbon fiber composite casing. And if you look carefully during this test, you might see the nozzle vectoring so that they have control of the stage. They have a flexible nozzle that gets attached, which is controlled by actuators, and that enables them to steer the first stage of the rocket, or at least it allows them to have pitch and yaw with the roll coming from thrusters. So that stage will burn for about 100 seconds, bringing them to just under 2 kilometers per second, and then stage separation uses these retro thrusters to ensure stage 1 separates backwards. So these are scarf nozzles that are up at the front that push the whole stage backwards and ensuring that stage 2 is clear to proceed to orbit. The second stage is the Kalam 250. It generates about 25 tons of thrust, and this is a super high frame rate view of its ignition. Now, it too is made of carbon fiber composites, and it has vectoring capabilities in its nozzle. And they also included this really cool footage of their igniter. So this sits at the top of the solid rocket motor, and it's what's actually ignited initially, and that then, of course, creates the hot gases which ignite the rest of the solid rocket motor. I don't remember seeing video like this for any US rocket, so I thought it's pretty cool that they released this. So about a minute after the first stage separates, they have reached high enough in the altitude that it's a good time to get rid of the payload fairing. This uses a pneumatic separation system to push the two halves apart, which then fall apart. Again, this is an all-composite fairing. Almost everything in this rocket is built from composites. So now for stage separation on the higher stages, they use a pneumatic pusher system layered around the outside. This is obviously a test of it showing how it operates. And this will actually become relevant later, so pay attention. So second stage burnout seems to happen about 3 minute 15 seconds, and we do actually get onboard footage, which makes it look like it blasts that stage into the distance, but truly the camera just glitched. It was cool though. So we have the third stage, the Kalam 100, 10 tons of thrust, burn time about 108 seconds. Again, all carbon fiber composite casing. It has a vectoring nozzle and it has engines for roll control. And I should point out that while I've introduced the stages in the order in which they are fired, they were developed in the reverse order because, of course, you develop the smallest engines first and then work your way up to the big ones as you learn bit by bit. And also, I'll say that Skyroot's video library does include a lot of details that would probably be blurred out on US launches because, of course, like ITAR and stuff like that, and you know, China and Russia, they wouldn't show any of that. So there are actually some amazing details that you see in this if you look carefully. If you're willing to go through and watch all the videos where they document the development of their launch vehicle. And clearly, the people working on it really like this kind of thing. And I do like the big caption in their factory that says, like, it's not rocket science. Oh, wait, it is. So anyway, yeah, this engine burned up until just after the 5-minute mark. By that point, the rocket had reached a speed of almost 7 kilometers per second, and it was in a ballistic trajectory which would bring it up to an altitude of about 450 kilometers. And then for a while, it basically cruised with the two stages locked together, and I think that gave the launch, you know, support crew a chance to celebrate for a bit. And I'll be honest, lot of first-time launches don't even get this far, so they were, you know, they may have been celebrating early, but they absolutely deserved it. However, the next stage separation event didn't look quite as clean as the other ones. So, yeah, we got to watch these various cameras. This is the stage 4 looking down on stage 3. There's stage 3 disappearing, and then there's stage 3 coming back. And rockets don't tend to have stages come back. When I initially saw this clip, I thought, uh-oh, this is like the Falcon 1 issue where they didn't let the stage, you know, burn out for long enough. But no, this was after it had been cruising for a long time. There wasn't any residual thrust pushing these two stages back together, as far as I can tell. And on further inspection, it looks more to me like there might have been some cable just joining the two, because we see the upper stage trying to maneuver into its burn attitude, and the other object sort of being pulled around as if it's connected in some way. And clearly the upper stage is able to maneuver, but the big concern I think I would have is that, you know, I would ask the question, did that separated stage impact the nozzle? Because that could lead to, quote-unquote, bad things happening when they light the engine. So let's talk about it. This is the fourth stage, also known as the orbital adjustment module, and that is the Raman 2 engine firing there. That's a hypergolic engine burning monomethylhydrazine with nitrogen tetroxide. I believe it's pressure-fed, it's largely fabricated with 3D printing, and it's regeneratively cooled. And there are a number of other smaller engines on here. So there are four Raman 1 engines that run off the same propellant supply. Those provide, you know, thrust, but they can also provide attitude control during primary engine fire. And then I believe there's a series of 8 cold gas thrusters which are used for rotational control. So anyway, about 9.5 minutes after launch, it approaches apogee and it lights its engine. We get the barest hint of a blast of colour there as it fires up. And after cutting away to the audience for applause, we come back and we see a little white dot there bobbing around. I'm presuming that is the discarded stage. Most importantly, nothing exploded, everything seemed to work, and so at this point, the mission was looking like a massive success. In fact, they began powering up the payloads before they had even made it all the way to orbital velocity. So they did actually carry live payloads on this. It wasn't, you know, a mass simulator. I believe the CosmoServe payload is supposed to demonstrate some sort of actuating arms for grabbing objects in space, with the idea that it will be able to capture space debris and deorbit it. And then about 16 minutes after launch, they finally reached orbit. The orbital engine cut off, and if you look on the left, you can see one of the satellites being deployed. And watch on the right for another satellite going off. And I'm going to say it is pretty rare for a space startup to have success on their first orbital launch attempt. Notably, SpaceX only achieved orbit on their fourth try. There was also an ARP payload. Above the Skyroot logo, there was a tiny rocket which had tiny, tiny figures smaller than a grain of rice in it. And to the right of that, there's a flower made of diamonds. And I thought this was a really clever touch, where they managed to guide the whole thing so that the sun would pass through that diamond and appear to rise. Yeah, congrats to the GNC engineers for figuring that one out. So congratulations to all the engineers and scientists involved in developing and launching this vehicle. I'm sure there will be future test flights of this, but as it stands, they've built a rocket which is roughly comparable to ISRO's small satellite launch vehicle, and also comparable to many other rockets around the world that will be available presumably in the future. But Skyroot have no plans to stop there. They've already been developing their Dawan 3 cryogenic engine, which generates a couple of hundred kilograms of thrust. That's going to be used as a liquid-fueled upper stage for an even larger Vikram rocket. I'm Scott Manley. Fly safe.